Let's take our Bibles at this time and turn to Psalm 32. Psalm 32, as we give our attention there this morning in our meditation of what it is to be truly and thankfully blessed. And so let's hear these words together of Psalm 32, a maskil of David, where David writes, "Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity, and whose spirit there is no deceit. For when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me, my strength was dried up as by the heat of summer. I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not cover my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. Therefore, let everyone who is godly offer prayer to you at a time when you may be found. Surely in the rush of great waters they shall not reach him. You are a hiding place for me. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with shouts of deliverance. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. Be not like a horse or a mule without understanding, which must be curbed by bit and bridle, or it will not stay near you. Many are the sorrows of the wicked, but steadfast love surrounds the one who trusts in the Lord. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, O righteous, and shout for joy, all you righteous in heart, upright in heart." Let's pray together. Our Lord and Heavenly Father, as you bring us before this word of thanksgiving blessing, Father, we thank you for it. Father, for that call again to be mindful of the blessing of forgiveness and to go out in this day assured of that blessing. And so, Father, for those in this place who are celebrating Thanksgiving today, for all of the trappings of the day without that reality, without that change of heart, Father, we pray that even in the proclamation of your word this day, that today would truly be a day of salvation, a day of thanksgiving for them. And Father, for us, those who know the great salvation of Jesus Christ, would you warm our hearts in these things, and would you continue to drive us to all that praise and glory that is rightly due you, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Congregation, beloved of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, what blessings are your reason for giving thanks today? And maybe in the busyness of what it is, of getting ready and getting stuff ready, that it isn't charred and crispy by the time you get back, even after this, we don't always stop to think about it. And so, yeah, we know that Thanksgiving is kind of a given, and we're a thankful people, but we have to think about it. We at least need to be able to pause for a few seconds. And so here's your reason: the food of which you are about to eat, or the house you live in, or the clothes you wear, or your work, or your safety in it, or even the abundance of the harvest that God has granted. And so whatever your reason, and there are countless other reasons, and I pray around your tables today that you take that time to simply say, these are the things that we're thankful for, the blessings of the Lord that he's provided for us. And we can be assured that we have been thankfully blessed. No matter the burdens of our hearts, maybe the sorrows that we carry, the hurts that come to the fore again on times where family gathers and there are empty chairs that are there, we are thankfully blessed. But again, maybe we take these and many other blessings for granted because, well, we don't think about them anymore, or because we take them as givens. That word that God is faithful isn't necessarily then a word of praise, but just a stated truth, like we breathe the air about us and we like to eat. We take them as givens, which shows itself in moments when life bears down upon us, where that struggle is real. And it's in those moments that we maybe even struggle to remember God's goodness or blessings at all. We are a pretty forgetful people. We can read that throughout the biblical narrative, but we don't have to read it there. We read it in our own hearts. We too easily forget his every good and perfect gift. We forget every way in which he provides for us physically and spiritually. We may even live in a way that seems to forget that our salvation is found in him alone. and that our relationship to Him has been reestablished in the blessing of our Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so on this Thanksgiving Day, we need to confess and rejoice in the fact that we do belong to a faithful God, and that His promises are true, that this is the most basic and foundational blessing for us that we celebrate. And so don't forget those blessings. Don't forget how great those blessings are or how great the God is who provides them. But rather, let those blessings lead you in this day, in every day, in the words that you speak, in the life that you live, to a greater, a more fulsome rejoicing. And that really is the point for us today, even as that's David's desire to make plain in Psalm 32. And so the Lord thankfully blesses His chosen people that they would seek Him and rejoice. That those blessings shouldn't drive us away from Him, but drive us to seek Him and to rejoice all the more as we consider His great love for us. And so He blesses us then in two main ways that we want to take with us today into our rejoicing, in providing a blessed forgiveness in verses 1 through 6, and then a blessed trust in verses 7 and 11. Thanksgiving, our forgiveness, and trust. And yet that primary blessing, the reason before all others that should drive us to the Lord and drive us to our knees today, is forgiveness. And it's why David starts with it. Verse 1, blessed is he whose transgressions are forgiven and whose sins are covered. This is why we're here. This is why we've been made able to come and to approach an almighty God, to come before a Father, to come before a holy Father. And so that one who demands holiness from those who are presented before Him need to be covered. We need our sins to be atoned for and our guilt to be removed. And so to come before the Father then outside of that forgiveness would guarantee death. But for us, in the abundant blessings of the Father and the love of Jesus Christ, we come as those whose transgressions here have literally been lifted from them. It isn't a burden you carry anymore. It isn't anything by which we give thanks other than for the fact that it has been removed from us. That all of our sins are forgiven through the work of another, that atonement has been made for us through the blood of another, through the sacrifice of another. And that blood, that perfect atoning sacrifice, has covered us completely so that what the Father sees in us and on us is His Son, His sinlessness, His righteousness. That is all that He sees. It is our blessing. Verse 2, blessed is the man whose sin the Lord does not count against him. That's pure blessing. The pure blessing that knowing as far as east is from west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. It's pure blessing to know that the one who forgives our sins remembers them no more. It is the purest of our blessings to give thanks for today. And yet instead of continually being mindful of that and remembering that and bringing that to mind, who is the one who remembers those sins? You see, we confess it. God remembers our sins no more, but we do. And we not only keep remembering them, but we keep living in their guilt. And it robs us of our joy, not only on this Thanksgiving Day, but every day. Yet, brothers and sisters, we don't need to keep carrying those things and remembering those things because of grace. Because of the perfect and completed work of our promised Messiah, Jesus Christ, who has said to you even this day as you have come for worship, you haven't earned that standing with the Lord. I have. Your Lord and Savior has. That I have given you faith so you wouldn't keep looking to yourself and keep looking to your sin, but that you would look to me and me alone and me only. That you would find your blessedness. that you would find your thanks. That even here in our text, David is speaking of the blessedness of the man whom God credits righteousness apart from works. Blessed are they whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord never or will never count against him. Because it is the Lord who justifies and the Lord who saves. It is the Lord who brings salvation and forgives. And in so doing, he remakes us and reshapes us and recreates us. And he does so in his image, that what would be seen is him. That what would be seen is the blessing of forgiveness in the one in whose spirit there is no deceit. Blessed is the one who is no longer living a lie. Blessed is the one who has looked away from himself or herself. Blessed is the one who, by way of that forgiveness, has been made new. Blessed is the one who is blameless in the sight of God because of his work and who is equipped to serve him. That's blessing. Blessed is the one who has been forgiven, who again doesn't need to live a lie before the Lord and others, who no longer has to keep up an appearance of self-righteousness because they know that their righteousness is in the Lord and in him alone. And why is that a blessing? David gets at it in verse 3. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. That when we're living that lie and we're trying to play that two-faced game of, yeah, I've got my life buttoned up and everything's okay and I'm all right and I'm fine and you're fine and we're all fine. When we conceal that sin and we don't confess it to the Lord, when we don't confess it to others, it affects us in every way. We've all been there. From the child who keeps that lie inside or who has done that thing and won't come to their father or their mother, there's brokenness in that relationship and we feel it. And we start to have anxiety about it. And the lie piles up on a lie, piles up on a lie. And, oh, it hurts. It's gross. There's something between us. We feel it physically. We feel it internally. Verse 4, for day and night your hand was heavy on me. That conviction of sin is there, and yet I ignore it. That call to repentance is there, but I will not heed it. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. That in the way that we expend ourselves, in the work of our hands on the hottest day, that is where I am brought every day when I hold this and seek to carry it. That guilt destroys us. That the judgment of God, it brings us to the end of ourselves. Acknowledging, Lord, forgive me. I'm not strong enough to carry this. I can't find forgiveness. I can't be righteous enough. I can't earn favor with you. Help me. That we need to be forgiven if we are to love and serve God, which means we truly need to confess our sins. And yet what a blessing it is that we can. That we are made able to confess our sins. That we're brought before a God who will hear us. Then I acknowledged, verse 5, my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. And maybe that doesn't sound like any part of Thanksgiving to you. Why on this day of rejoicing are you bringing up all of those sins and things that I want to hide? That I might sit around a table today and want to hide even from my family that's there. Why do we say this? Because it leads us to that great blessing. Hear it clearly. And you forgave the guilt of my sin. And that's it. That's all you're called to do. All I need to do is lay my sin before the Lord, acknowledging each and every way that my sin breaks relationship with him,
and he will forgive it, and it almost sounds too good to be true. Can I have that kind of release? May I have that kind of deliverance? May I have that kind of joy and peace? Yes. He is faithful and kind and good. Yes. That's the power of grace. It's the joy of our thanksgiving today. That we rejoice in thanks for what Christ has done in sacrificing himself on the cross of Calvary, bearing our sin and guilt, and then giving to us his righteousness. That we may stand assured in the promise that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's his promise. And so by faith in this day, you're called to repent. Confess your sins to the Lord. And then draw near. Draw near to that God who is even in those words drawing near to you that you might seek his grace and help. Verse 6, therefore let everyone who is godly pray to you while you may be found. Surely when the mighty waters rise, they will not reach him. When the trial comes, when the storm is there, when the persecution is fierce, where the wonder of faith is there, how will I get through? How will we come through this life? We pray. And that is a thankful blessing that he will be found by us when we seek him with all our hearts. We heard that promise on Sunday, but we hear it again. Isaiah 55, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the evil man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him and to our God who will freely pardon. It's because of forgiveness that we might turn. Forsaking our ways and that sin that so easily besets us, that we may live in thanks for the pardon that has been given to us in Christ. And so I ask, do you believe that? And not just in a way that you're trying to put on a front for everybody so that they won't ask you about it. Do you believe that? Do you know God and the grace of forgiveness, the grace of the forgiveness of every one of your sins through the perfect gift of righteousness granted to you in Christ? And so turn to the Lord. Seek him in this moment. Confess your sin to him and he will freely pardon. And he will remember your sins no more. And more than that, he's going to continue to be with you. It's a blessed trust. That's the second point this morning of David, because that kind of trust too is a huge blessing of God for which we give thanks. One again that is far too easy to forget. Because it's as though sometimes we live believing that there will come a time where the Lord won't do something that he's promised. Let me assure you, that can't happen. That can never happen. That we know with certainty the blessing of forgiveness and the certainty that God will do and always do what he says and what he's promised. That we can trust, even as you read it on your way in, that our God will be the same. He changes not. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. His faithfulness is great. That doesn't change either. He is not a God who changes like shifting shadows. And so in knowing forgiveness, our life and salvation is found in the trust that has been given to us in the Lord. That's his work of faith in us. One that demands then all of our belief and all of our heart and all of our life. That we would give ourselves to trust that he is the God who has revealed himself in his word as the only one and true God. That we give ourselves to the trust that he has revealed himself in the creation all around us and more specifically in the holy word that he has granted to us. We give ourselves to trust that in seeking after him, he will be found in the fullness of love and grace. That blessing, that thanks should and must lead us to a greater desire to seek him and to rejoice in him always. And it's that kind of trust that fuels our gathering today. It fuels our gathering every time we come together on a Sunday. It fuels our worship and thanks. David says it this way in verse 7, "You are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble. You will surround me with songs of deliverance." What a trust. I am found in him. He is my refuge and my strength. He is my ever-present help in time of trouble. We will not be shaken. We will not be shaken from him. We will not be shaken from the truth of the gospel. We will not be shaken in the one in whom we find deliverance and forgiveness, in the one who is all of our protection from the continuing attacks of the evil one. And what is that trust here in verse 7? He reacts to those attacks. He is continuing to work faith and grace in us, even as he surrounds us with a great cloud of witnesses, as he gathers us together into a church who are able then to attest time and time again that our help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. That we're able to believe that together and pray for that together and live in that together. And we can trust by way of his steadfast love that he will continue to teach us that even as he leads us in the way he would have us go. It's his promise, verse 8, "I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you and watch over you." And we can give thanks for that too. Because even in that, it means what? My life isn't mine. You see, that's some of the struggle where we kind of look and say, oh, well, I'm forgiven of all my sins and I may live in whatever way I want. No. He doesn't provide us with forgiveness that we might do whatever we want to do. No, he shows us what is pleasing to him. He has shown it in his Son, whose righteousness he has granted to us. But yet he gives to us his law that we might know him in his holiness and in the light of his deliverance. He continually remains active in our lives by making way his plain before us in the light of his word and in the power of his Spirit. He in fact leads us by way of that Spirit he has abundantly poured out upon us. And in those moments and in those days in which we struggle with the sinfulness of our flesh, he's still there. He's not going to leave. He's not going to abandon you. He's not going to say, you know what, enough. I've given a promise, but come on already. He doesn't do that. No, he's going to complete the good work that he has begun. And we can trust that. That in our thanksgiving, he's going to continue to call us to himself, and he's going to continue to lead us to him, even in our times of utter pride and stubbornness. And he's saying, stop that. Trust in me. Don't act like verse 9. Don't be like the horse or the mule, which have no understanding, but must be controlled by bit and bridle, or they will not come to you. Don't act like a horse or a donkey. Stop it. As much as we love horses in this church, stop it. Why? Because when we're pridefully ignorant, we need the Lord to come about and around us to be faithful, to call us back, to jerk us back, as it were, to take us by the scruff of the neck and bring us back to him by way of his grace and trust and faith. And so even there, he calls you to repent of your sins, to humble yourself before an almighty and holy God, and to tremble before him with the rest of the earth. And he does that. He's even willing to do that. He's saying, don't be like that, but when you're like that, he's there. And we can trust that. And so David, in his penitence before the Lord, is called to listen to him and run to him. In his penitence before the Lord, he seeks us to help avoid the same struggle of his life. There it is, David, the man after God's own heart. He lost sight of that faith. He lost sight of the reason for his thanksgiving on a number of occasions. Yet the Lord was still there. Again and again and again, by way of his promise, he was still there. And he's with us. He's faithful to us. Even in the midst of our unfaithfulness, he's faithful to us. And abundantly more than we deserve. Again, that's grace. It's the glory of grace. And that's the blessedness of our thanksgiving together, that we may trust in the wonder of never failing and never ending love and grace. Verse 10, many are the woes of the wicked. But what's ours in Christ? But the Lord's unfailing love surrounds the man who trusts in him. That's our comfort. That we may see all of our life in his control and we can praise him for it, even though we don't always understand it. That our trust would be him alone. And we can trust that he calls us to rejoice in him as a testimony to his love and to his faithfulness. Which is why David can't resolve this psalm in any other way than rejoicing. Verse 11, rejoice in the Lord, covenant-keeping, faithful God. Rejoice in the Lord and be glad, you righteous, you who have been made righteous. Sing, all you who have been made to be upright in heart. So do that today. In every moment of this day, rejoice. Rejoice when you don't get that second helping of something that you love every year. Rejoice when you have to hear the same story again today. Rejoice when you gather around this imperfect circle of people that God has made your family. Rejoice when you go home this day so full that you don't know what to do about it. Rejoice. When your son or daughter calls you from across the country, rejoice. When you consider your blessing, rejoice. Give voice to that thanksgiving so that when your life is going great, you will have a hearty voice to rejoice. But when your life feels like it's not going so great, you will be able to proclaim the same, rejoice. No matter your current circumstance, rejoice, because you are a chosen child of God through faith in Jesus Christ. Rejoice. And do that no matter what. It's as Paul wrote in Philippians 4, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving. Make your requests known to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. You see, he's the one who David is ultimately talking about. The psalm about a Messiah who took our place, our suffering and sin upon himself, that we could have abundant life now and forevermore. And so again, I ask you, is this your trust? Is that your rejoicing? That the Lord is King, the Lord over all things, over all people. Is your trust firmly in him? In that Lord who hears your prayers and answers them for the sake of Christ his Son? And does that reality then drive you out of yourself? Words out of you, but a life lived out of that heart in thanks. If it is, rejoice. Rejoice on this Thanksgiving Day in God's blessing to you in his Son. Rejoice that he is making you come to know more of what it is to enjoy the freedom of grace and the joy of serving and loving the Lord and others. And then give him thanks. Lord, thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for granting me the trust to know that you will do this and everything else that you have promised. And thank you that you have chosen me, that I might live and serve you to the praise of your glorious grace forever. Brothers and sisters, we are thankfully blessed. Amen. Our Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you for the truth of this word, for the truth, Father, of what it is to have our thanksgiving bound up in a great forgiveness and a great trust. Father, it is your provision for us today in which we give thanks. And so thank you for your word, that you continue to speak that word to us in each worship service, Sunday by Sunday, Father, that you bring us again to that means of grace, to be mindful that grace is found in you and in you alone, in your Son, by the power of your Spirit. And so, Father, in this day so full of thanks, may our thanks not only be true, but might it be real, might it be lived out, might it be emoted May you be praised for it. But then, Father, also, in whatever season of life we find ourselves in, may we give you thanks in being content. Content in what you have given. Content in your promises. Content in our great hope. And so, Father, for this day, for all of your many blessings to us, we say thank you. And we do it in the prayer our Lord Jesus himself taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.